Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, send forth your word into our ears, that it may bear fruit in our lives, in Jesus' name. Amen. Submit. What does the word submit mean? What images does it call to your mind? Picture a wrestling match, mixed martial arts cage match. One opponent has the other in some form of painful contortion until their opponent finally submits with a broken spirit or a broken arm. Is that what comes to mind when you hear Paul's words this morning? Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. Do you hear a struggle for power, a battle for control, not only for the TV remote, but for the relationship? A battle to control the other person. A domineering man looming over his wife, demanding that she do as she's told. A wife bristling at the thought of a man having any say over her life. Now, I try very hard to avoid setting up straw man arguments, but I think it's safe to say that a misunderstanding of the word submit has led to more than a few unhealthy marriages, where husbands and wives approach each other like combatants in a hand-to-hand contest that ends only when one has forced the other into submission. But if we take a step back, we'll see that it's not just marriages where a misunderstanding of submission has reared its ugly head. It's in all kinds of relationships. Parents and their children fight for control. Office politics have co-workers trying to gain the upper hand, all the while employers and employees are distrustful of the motives of the other. And people of differing political or social or economic philosophies seek to pummel their opponents into submission. You see, the world around us wants us to see all relationships through the lens of power and control. To think of submission as something one person forces another person into, assuming that no person would ever willingly submit on their own. But perhaps that's because we don't understand what submission really is. The Greek is helpful here. The Greek word that Paul used, that's translated as submit in today's reading, is the word hypotasso. Combination of two Greek words, hippo, which means under, and tasso, which means order. So to be hypotasso is to be under order in the sense of organized, to be organized. That Greek word, that tasso word, is the same word that gives us our English word taxonomy. Taxonomy is the science of classification and categories. So maybe you remember the following mnemonic device from your biology class. King Philip came over from Germany swimming. Remember that one? The first sound in each word gives you the different first sound of each level of biological taxonomy. Kingdom, phylum, class, order, family, genus, species. All living things are classified according to this taxonomy, with each level being more specific than the one that came before it. So, for example, the two biggest kingdoms are the plant kingdom and the animal kingdom. Everything that lives falls into one of those two kingdoms. Therefore, it's a plant or an animal. And if it's an animal, well, its skeleton is either inside its body or outside of its body. That's part of its phylum. And if its skeleton is inside of its body, then it either lives on land or in water or both. It either has hair or it doesn't. It either gives birth or lays eggs. That's part of its class. Then you get even more detailed. If it's a land animal, does it have hooves or paws or feet? That's part of its order. By the time you get to the family, you know whether you're dealing with a dog or a cat or a bird. The genus is the difference between a wolf and a house pet, between a hawk and a hummingbird. And then you get to species, the most specific form of classification. Difference between a golden retriever and a chihuahua. All of this is not to bring up traumatic memories of biology 101, but to illustrate the point that tasso is not concerned with something's worth or its value, is simply concerned with organization, with order. Is a dog inherently more valuable than a fish? Or is a tree inherently more worthless than a sunflower? Of course not. But they're different. They have different taxonomy, different place in the tasso. And their place is not determined by their value, but it does have something to do with their vocation, what they were created to be, how they were created to live. You see, tasso is not a question of importance. It's not a game of king of the hill. It's about organization. And that Greek word hypotasso is sometimes translated subordinate. In the verse immediately before today's reading, the one that ended our reading last week, Paul says, be subordinated to one another. It's put in the passive voice. That's why it's translated submit. To submit is to allow yourself to be subordinated, to be put into the proper spot within God's order, within God's design for creation, within his design for you. When Paul says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ, what he's really saying is as simple as, live in your vocations. Not trying to impose your will on the people around you, but letting God determine the order and the tone of your relationships. You see, today's reading about husbands and wives is part of a larger section that spills over into chapter 6. It's a section where Paul talks about godly order in multiple different vocations. Wives are under their husbands, children under their parents, workers under their bosses. But he starts all of it with the general principle, be subordinated to one another out of reverence for Christ. But if we're to be subordinated, who's doing the subordinating? It's not me subordinating you or you me. This is the Holy Spirit at work in our lives. It's the Spirit who, through God's word, creates in us a desire to live according to God's design, to live in God's taxonomy, his tasso for the church and for the world. That's why this section comes at the end of Paul's epistle. He's already shown the Ephesians who they are and who we are as the forgiven children of God. Now he reminds us, don't live like the unbelievers. Don't place the traditions of men in the place of God's word. Don't live like people who see everything as a power struggle. Receive the order of God's creation as a gift. You see, in God's design, subordination is not demeaning. To submit is not humiliating. In fact, if anything, in God's design, the one who is subordinate is more valuable. They're not subordinate because of weakness or vulnerability, but because they're precious. The husband protects his wife because she's precious to him. The parent protects the child because he's precious to her. The boss protects the employee because they are valuable. And that's ultimately the point that Paul wants us to see. Because a right understanding of godly submission actually points us to Jesus. In Ephesians chapter 1, Paul already said, at the ascension of Christ, God subordinated all things under the feet of Christ. And that's not language of triumph. It's language of vocation. Jesus is the head of all things. But he's the head of all things not because he pummeled his rivals into submission, but because that's the vocation the Father gave him. And the fact that Jesus is the head of all things simply means that Jesus takes care of all things. He protects all things because they matter to him. You matter to him. Therefore, our stepping into God's tasso is more than just doing our part to keep the taxonomy in order. It's also recognizing Christ in God's design. It's receiving the care of the person above you as the care of Christ himself. It's recognizing the call to act as Christ to anyone who is placed into your care. That's the way Paul describes it throughout this whole section. We heard a little bit of it today. If you read ahead through chapter 6, you'll see more. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. Workers, obey your masters as you would Christ, and masters, treat your workers as Christ has treated you. In all of these vocations, Jesus is active. Jesus is protecting his people. Jesus is protecting you. Our sinful flesh hates the idea of submission. Our sinful flesh is prideful. It's greedy. It's power hungry. Our sinful flesh wants to rule over others like a tyrant or a despot, to embrace the will to power, bending others to our desires, forcing them into submission. And that's why the willing submission that Paul talks about here is actually a fruit of faith. It's a gift of the Spirit. Because we are a new creation in Christ, we step forth in faith into God's design for our vocations. That design for marriage is that husbands love their wives and sacrifice themselves for her, and their wives submit to the care and the protection of their husbands. That design for families is that parents discipline and instruct their children, and that children honor and obey their parents. And that design for jobs is that bosses treat their workers well and do not threaten them, that employees obey their bosses. Now, of course, there are abuses in all of these relationships. How could it be otherwise when sinful people are involved? Husbands do not love their wives with the perfect love of Christ. Wives do not willingly submit to the care and protection of their husbands. There's rivalry where God intended unity. Or in families, parents willingly abdicate their responsibility of godly discipline and instruction, falling either into abuse or abandonment. Children ignore their parents, antagonize their parents. Bosses act like tyrants. Employees do as little as possible. But we would be foolish to let the presence of abuses blind us to the goodness of the design. The design is a gift from God. The order is a gift from God, and he invites us into it for our good. And so in faith, we rejoice in the Lord who loves us and gave himself up for us, and we receive God's design for marriage as a gift. We rejoice in the Lord who disciplines us, who instructs us in his word so that we might be pruned and shaped closer and closer to his image. And then we live in that design with our own families. And we rejoice in the Lord who created us for work, for activity, to tend the ground, to be stewards of his creation. And then we live in those vocations according to his design. And in all of it, we see Christ at work for us and Christ at work through us. So may God grant us such a godly tasso and order in our lives, in our relationships, that life may flourish under his care and his design. In Jesus' name, amen.